Welcome to Inside Jag Nation, a weekly podcast that gives you an in-depth look at the South Alabama Jaguars. You can find a new podcast uploaded weekly online at usajaguars.com or take the podcast with you on your smartphone by subscribing for free on iTunes. Just search South Alabama Jaguars.
Welcome to Inside Jag Nation, the weekly podcast of the University of South Alabama Department of Athletics. We're visiting for this week's episode with senior from the Jaguar men's golf team, Silas Elliott. Silas, appreciate your taking the time with us today.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Catching you between tournaments, but you're still around working. We're recording this at Azalea City between nines for you. Talk about your play so far this year. You've had the team's lowest score at all three tournaments. What's been the key to your success so far to the start of your senior season?
Well, what's different this year from last year is after coming back from my surgery, I just now got into hitting my driver and my three wood. So learning to manage my game, being limited with the amount of clubs that I had in my bag, really helped me get around the golf course a lot better and a lot smarter. So that's led to better opportunities for birdies and less bogeys on the card.
So you came out of the gate, opening tournament at Southern Miss last month, and you shoot a 66 in your first official round. And we'll talk about the injury some later, but official competitive round in months. Explain that feeling to our listeners when you know you're shooting a good score. What's running through your mind? What are you focusing on to keep it going, to go as low as you can possibly go?
Going in, I didn't really expect to have a lot of bogeys from learning how to manage my game better this year, but I was definitely shocked by how many birdies I made and the way I performed. But it was a good feeling. It gave me a lot of confidence going into the rest of this year.
Like when you're in the middle of that round and you know that, okay, you got a circle and a circle and a circle and suddenly you see them piling up, how do you not let it affect the next shot? How do you clear that out so that you can concentrate on what's in front of you and keep that ball rolling?
Yeah, it was definitely hard for me to keep from thinking, oh my God, I'm 5 under at this point, I'm 6 under at this point. But luckily I had Coach Hanning with me, and he was just keeping me down to earth. He's saying take it one shot at a time. So I give a lot of my success for that first round to him. So
at the start of this week, you guys competed in Alabama's tournament, the Jerry Pate National Intercollegiate. And on Monday afternoon, second round, as a team, you guys shot 274, easily the best round the team's put together this year. You and three other guys were in the 60s, under par. When you're in the middle of that round, do you know what the other guys are doing and kind of what's going on around you? And does it affect you, or are you only focusing on your own scorecard?
I'll have the coaches tell me, like, if it's coming down the stretch. I mean, if they really need me to pull through, they'll encourage me to be like, keep up the steady play. But I never ask what my teammates are doing, because I find it that if I play for myself and my own low score, then ultimately I'm helping the team in the long run. So,
and that leads me into my next question is – you know, as a kid, when you get into the sport, you play, it's an individual game. And then you get to high school and college, and it's turned into this team format. But it's not truly a team like football or basketball with substitutions and things like that. Describe do you have a different approach when you play in an amateur tournament versus a tournament for South, or is it always the same to you?
Well, with the mindset that I have coming into tournaments, being on a team but playing for myself, it doesn't really change when I go into amateur events when I'm only playing by myself and there's no team included. I take it one shot at a time and try to put together the best round I have, and if I'm playing for a team, then hopefully I help them out.
So explain to our listeners, and there are going to be folks out there who, along with myself, love attempting to play but cannot do what you guys do. you know, in our situation, we show up with a course, we go to the range a little bit to loosen up, and you go out there, and there's not a lot of direction or anything like that. Describe a practice to our listeners. What do you do? How long are you out there? How do you break it down between the range, putting, chipping? You know, what? Explain that to people who probably should be doing it but aren't.
Yeah, I mean, the majority of the time on your golf course is actually going to be spent within 100 yards and in from the flagstick. So, which thankfully our coaches have helped put together some really good practice plans for us to get our short games intact. But, yeah, about 75% of my total practice time is from 120 yards and in. And I think that's where you give yourself the best opportunities to make birdies and score the lowest.
So explain to us a day for you at a tournament. How early before you get to the tee box do you like to start your routine? What does your routine include? And what, if anything, do you do after the round's over? And how long might you stay working extra?
Some people like to get there super early, like hour and a half, 2 hours before their tee time. I like to give myself about 45 minutes to prepare before I tee off. I always go to the chipping area first, and I'll spend 15 minutes there. Then I'll go to the driving range, spend 15 minutes there, and I'll mostly the majority of the time hitting balls. It'll be between my wedges up to a 6-iron, and then I'll hit 5 or 6 drivers before I go to the putting green. And that's where I'll spend the last amount of my time because, I mean, ultimately that's where you score on the course is by making putts. So I'll putt for the last 15 minutes and then head off to the first tee.
There are a bunch of us who like to go out there and play 18, but we're riding in carts. How hard is it? How much work is it when you get to some of these tournaments like Monday where you're playing 36 holes in a day?
A lot of it has to do with conditioning. I mean, you definitely have to keep your energy up. So, I mean, it's important to eat between rounds, stuff like that, and luckily they provide us lunch. But it's more or less a mental state, being able to stay out there and grind it out each shot. It definitely wears you out at the end of the day. I mean, you're exhausted, not only physically, but mentally. You're tired from having to recover from hitting bad shots to make up for it with a good shot, and it wears you down pretty quick.
So you touched on it earlier in our conversation. Last year was your first year here after transferring from a junior college, and you had a good year. Averaged 73.5 was your scoring average, second on the team. You had 3 top 20s. You're playing really well, but then you get into March, and you end up with a back injury. What happened, and was it a long-term thing that got worse, or was there just a moment that something went wrong and you ended up having to shut it down because you missed the last month of the season?
It happened in the weight room. I had strained a disc, kept on with the workouts, and eventually it herniated. And not knowing the extent of my injury, I continued to play because I was still playing pretty decent. I was helping the team out, so I continued to play, and that made it even worse. And finally, got to the point where I couldn't feel my toes anymore. And the leg pain was too intense from the nerve, so I decided to withdraw and hang it up for the season, start to recover, and just go ahead and get the surgery.
So this year, you know, the scoring average is lower, 71.89 through 3 tournaments. You've had 3 of your 9 rounds have been below par. What were your expectations for this semester and this year, your last year at the collegiate level, knowing that you were coming off of that injury?
I just went back to the same goals that I had set before I came here. Being All-American at Wallace 2 years in a row, I wanted to continue the streak and try to make getting All-American for my 4 years in college. Didn't accomplish that last year, but I just came back in, managed my game, and that's ultimately the goal, and I'm going to try to set some new records on the board and the golf suite.
So, you know, we talked about here how you shut it down. So once you did that, explain to us the process from that point to get back on the golf course at Southern Miss in September. Did you have any surgery? Was it just rehab? You know, how long were you not allowed to swing a club?
I had the surgery April 6th. I wasn't able to start chipping until 2 months out of surgery, and that's about the same time that I started my therapy. And I just doing therapy 5 times a week. And then eventually, about the 3 month mark out of surgery, I was able to start hitting some wedge shots. And then that's where I started to notice my game really progress. I was actually shocked at how well I was doing just getting back into the game. It didn't seem like I had skipped a beat at all with my game, and it actually was, I felt like it was better than it had been before, which was shocking. But the progression from in my game, I think definitely comes from the kind of therapy I was doing, because it was getting me more flexible and loose, and my transition was different. And I've definitely noticed that in my swing mechanics, my body is, it's different now, but in a good way. But I'm still adjusting to it, because it's a little weird sometimes, but I'm very happy with the changes that has come from having the surgery.
And we're visiting this week on Inside Jag Nation with senior men's golfer Silas Elliott. You know, when it first happens in March and you know, okay, I can't play anymore, and then they say surgery is the best option. I mean, there are guys on the pro tour who have had back issues, and it's a serious thing in this game because of what you have to do physically. Did you ever worry about, will I be able to play in September? Will I get back to the level I was? Or were you just confident all along that I'm going to make it through this?
I knew I would play again. I was very worried that I wouldn't be ready for the fall season. And if I wasn't going to be ready for the fall season, as much as I hated the thought of it, I was going to redshirt. But I stayed on top of my therapy workouts and I practiced as much as I could, and I definitely pushed the issue. I was ready to get back out on the course, and luckily with the progression I had made, I was cleared to start playing, and which of course my first tournament wasn't with all my clubs in my bag, but like I said, I was pretty stubborn, and I was like, I want to go play. So I got back out there, and it's working out for me so far.
So I want to go back to when you first came to South at the start of last season. You were an All-American at the junior college level, and you get to South. And what were your expectations going into last year moving up to the Division I level?
I expected to perform. I mean, I always expect to perform and do my best. I definitely think I wasn't – I didn't expect the level of competition to be as high as it was. I mean, not saying that, you know, I wasn't expecting like the SEC type caliber play from the Sun Belt, but I was completely wrong in that area. I mean, I went out to my first tournament, and I got my butt handed to me, it fired me up pretty quick, and I started performing after that and noticed that I could compete at this level of play. So it gave me a lot of confidence knowing that I could play at this level. And I think that butt kicking I got at Kiwa Island set me straight.
Well, it's interesting to me because, you know, we talk about it, and, you know, in your junior college career, in 2 years, you won 4 tournaments and you had 18 top tens. And so you're used to success. And that trip back from Kiowa, I mean, was there a little doubt in your mind? Like, what did I get myself into? Or was it just, oh, okay, that was a little more than I expected, and I'm gonna figure my way out of this?
I definitely get a little bit down on myself if I perform poorly, which I think all athletes do, but I never get discouraged from it because I'm a fighter on the course and I'm very, very competitive. But I didn't doubt my ability after not performing the way I wanted to at Kiawah, and I went back to Mobile and I made up a different practice plan and I stuck to it, and it's helped me out a lot.
So you came to South from Wallace State Community College, and we, you know, great success there both individually and as a team. Did anyone else recruit you out of junior college, or was it just South? And if there was anyone else, what led you to make the decision to come here?
I was recruited. I wasn't offered by very many other schools, but I had a lot of schools looking at me. I know when it came down to it, it was between Florida State and South Alabama, and my dream was to always go play at Florida State because the coach there actually went to the same high school. He's from the same area that I'm from. He actually played at Wallace State. So I always wanted to play for Trey Jones, but it just – when I came to South and I visited, I didn't want to go visit anywhere else. It just it felt like home to me. Me and Coach Hannon really hit it off, and he's a great coach, obviously, from – the success he's had at South. So I'm very thankful that I ended up here.
Going back to your days at Coleman High School, you made the team from middle school. You were a six-year letter winner. You had five individual wins. Was there any interest from colleges then, or is that why you ended up going to junior college? I mean, for all that success, probably a little bit of frustration that, like, you might not have started at a four-year school?
Actually, I wasn't able to get recruited by NCAA schools out of high school because I wasn't registered through the clearinghouse, which I didn't know about. I had no idea you had to register through that. So once my coach at Wallace State told me that, and it's definitely like, well, I mean, that kind of sucks, but I'm glad I ended up at Wallace. I think it's a great start for athletes to start at junior college because they get more tournament and playing experience, so they kind of have a little chip on their shoulder when they go up to a higher level of competition. And Coach York, he's a great guy. He's more of a grandfather to me because I've known him since I was 10 years old. He kind of taught me how to play and took me under his wing, and it was an honor to be able to play for that guy.
You know, as you're going through your career at Coleman, and not just the individual success, but 5 or 6 years you guys went to the state tournament, was there ever a point that you said to yourself, I want to play college golf, I think I can get a scholarship to do this?
I wanted to play. As soon as I picked up a club and got my first win when I was 12 years old, college golf, I mean, that didn't even, I wanted to go straight to the PGA Tour. I wanted to skip college golf, but I mean, then I realized college golf was the track I had to take to get to the PGA Tour. So, I mean, that's where my mind's been set since I was 12 years old.
So, 12's when you started playing?
Started playing at 11, got dead last in my first tournament, and then I just progressed from there. I won my second event, and after that, I just had my mindset that I wanted to play professionally.
You remember why you started playing at that point?
Yeah, after getting last, it motivated me, which was shocking to my parents because they figured I would want to quit after just getting beat by everybody. But it motivated me, and my stepdad, he saw the potential I had and the drive that I had to want to play professionally. So my parents, they've done everything they could to help me get to where I want to be. My mom actually got a job at the golf course, that way I could play for free. So they've done so much for me. I could never thank them enough.
What other sports did you play as a kid growing up, and what led you to try golf after playing other things?
I played basketball and baseball. I loved baseball. I grew up, I started playing baseball when I was four, and ended up, broke my collarbone and had surgery, and never really pitched the same because I was a pitcher, and so I gave up. I gave up everything whenever I picked up a golf club because I immediately realized the potential I had for the game, so I dropped all other sports at such a young age and just focused on golf.
So in your mind, as you go through your senior year and do what you need to do to contribute to the team's success, but, you know, playing well individually, what do you think is a key or keys of what you need to do that once you graduate and finish collegiately to move up through the pro ranks?
I'll have to stick to the practice schedule that I have now. I'll have to get more specific with it. Definitely be time management and managing how I practice is a big key. So I'll start by playing in some smaller mini tour events to get my confidence up and get used to the level of competition that I'm going to be exposed to. But other than that, I mean, I think it's basically very similar to what I'm doing now, this last year in college. I just think everything's going to get a little more precise, and the level of focus that I'm going to have to put into my practice time is going to definitely increase.
When it's all said and done and you put down the clubs professionally and look at some options, you know, what interest do you have? What field do you want to get into for a career after golf is over?
Teaching, definitely. I can't see myself doing anything other than golf. So I think teaching and helping other players out, giving them knowledge and experience that I have, is definitely something I want to do. I definitely, just for the heck of it, I teach little kids back home. Just, I like being around people that share the same passion as me.
The guest this week on Inside Jag Nation has been Silas Elliott, senior on the men's golf team. Appreciate the time. Before we let you go back to finish your second nine, I'm going to ask you some questions and really just want the first thing that comes to your mind. And I'm going to start with when you get away from practice, class, study hall, all the stuff that you got to do as a student athlete, what's your favorite thing to do when you have free time?
Fish.
What's the best athletic event you've ever attended as a fan?
I went to the Navistar tournament for the LPGA when I was 15. I got to give Lexi Thompson a hug, which some people may not know who she is, but she's a pretty big deal in women's golf.
I think more people might know that you give credit for just because of who Lexi is. But what is the one athletic event that you've never been to that's at the top of your bucket list?
The Masters. Never been to the Masters. My stepdad's been a couple times, which kind of gets under my skin a little bit, but I've been too busy practicing to take Masters tickets, so I definitely want to go to the Masters and just kind of get a bird's eye view of how the professionals practice and play.
You get to go on a dream vacation. One spot, where are you going?
I'd actually go back to Alaska and fish on the river.
What's your favorite movie?
7 Days in Utopia.
Favorite musical artist?
I have a lot of different favorite music. I don't know. I can't think of one off the top of my head right now.
And years down the line, when a Hollywood producer decides that they're going to take a script and tell the Silas Elliott story, what actor is he going to hire to play the lead role?
Hopefully you can hire me to play a lead role in it. That'd be pretty cool. I don't know. Ryan Reynolds, probably. He's a pretty funny guy.
This week's guest on Inside Jag Nation has been Silas Elliott. The Jaguar golf team will close out the fall season the last weekend of October with a home tournament at Steelwood Country Club, the Steelwood Collegiate Invitational. Wish you best of luck there and in the spring as you conclude your senior season.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Inside Jag Nation is a production of South Alabama Athletics. Any rebroadcast or distribution of this podcast without the express written consent of South Alabama Athletics is strictly prohibited. Remember, you can find a new episode of Inside Jag Nation every week on USAJaguars.com or have them automatically uploaded to your smartphone by subscribing for free on iTunes. Keep up to date with the Jags by following us on Twitter with @USAJaguarSports and @JagNationUSA. Thanks for listening, and go Jags!